Hello everyone, this is Fanny here. Welcome to this audio devoted to digging deeper into the first theme of this January lunar cycle about connecting with the other beings who live with us on our planet. So I hope you've been able to make the January story your own, either by reading it or by listening carefully with the audio that I have suggested, made for you, or even both, reading and listening together. If you haven't already done so, I urge you to go back to the previous page because I'm going to use the story as a starting point for our reflections and make a number of references to it. So, the story begins with the woman called the mother, the one who's talking with a loved one, and she's here discussing with the fox about his medicine. In the Amerindian culture, medicine is the way in which an animal or a plant teaches us. This like way of knowing and understanding celestial and philosophical wisdom by observing and learning from what we can see or hear in our natural environment. This way of seeing things is not exclusive to Amerindian culture. For example, Hermes, the Egyptian, born three times, Hermes Trismegist, explained that everything above is below, and as above, as below, and the same, as below, as above. So, where everything that is alive has a soul. Let me remind you that an element of life is defined by science as a succession of stages in the life, the birth, growth, reproduction phase, and the death. So life can be found in the plants, animals, and human spheres, since there is birth, growth, reproduction, and death for each of them. But in Amerindian and Essenian culture in particular, the elements fire, earth, water, and air also possess a spirit, just like stones and places. But here we see that elements like stone no longer meet the scientific conditions that determine what is alive or not. The as above as below attitude has another difficulty of approach, because to see in the elements of the earth, of nature, cosmic truth and truth about oneself is particularly astounding for our Christian culture, because for the Christians below was synonymous with evil and sin. The devil was associated with matter that was dirty for the soul. So, why get down on the ground and observe in details in order to draw out the great existential truth when theology university do it within four walls inside? Out of the dirty of the soul. We can see rabbits working in their temple, isolated from the rest of their environments and teaching there. For us Christians, matter, nature, and living beings are all the product of the fall and are therefore remote, the opposite of the spiritual path to take to the return to the state of elevation. And when I talk about our Christian culture, it's because it's still at the root of a lot of unconscious conditioning, whether you're a believer yourself or you've been grown up in a believer environment, it doesn't matter. Because to look at the earth will then simply be to look down and to look to the sins. Whereas here we really have this idea of drawing wisdom and medicine from what is below. Omram, which is an esoteric Christian known in France and the successor of Peter Donav, has really succeeded in building a bridge between these very opposing visions. In his books, he brings together natural wisdom and biblical teachings. And by comparing this natural knowledge, he realized that it was very similar to the way Jesus spoke in parables, in metaphors. And that's where my sort of digression on Christianity led us, to the very basis of Christianity. Omram shows that Jesus also used the wisdoms of nature to develop his teachings. This means that these two ways of seeing the world are no longer opposed to each other, and that the ways of obtaining high knowledge by looking at the lowly and the vile are linked. In fact, this is the very basis of alchemy too, where lead, the vile and black raw material is transformed into gold, a precious and solar metal. So, animism is to be found all over the planet and not just among the Amerindians or in the Shinto religion of the Japanese people, for example, which honors the spirits contained in places, stones, plants, and animals. And when it's everywhere, even in cultures that seem to have moved away from it, then we know that we're into something. Here then, we have two ways of approaching the teaching of the 13 original mothers. Either in the belief that stones and animals do indeed have spirits capable of communicating with us, or that by metaphor their behavior enables us to approach spiritual concepts. Whatever our inner way of approaching the world around us, we will draw from it its wisdom that can guide us and to improve our way of understanding the universe and ourselves as humans. Finally, the mother of this very first cycle asks only one thing of us: to dare to stop in our succession of activities today, to stop and look at nature and grasp its metaphors, to find inside the essence of knowledge, which is magnificent because it's both simple to access and very, very powerful. Simple because we all had access to it. All you can have to do is to grab your jacket and go outside. No need to see a priest, no need to see a shaman, no need to pay to go in a temple far away. Spiritual knowledge would be there, within our reach. And to begin directly with this revolution, which puts all our religions in their place, it's quite powerful to start the year, to start in January. And powerful because it engages our direct experience. These are not words that we read, that someone dictated, or that someone teaches us. We learn with sensations. And then we research, we analyze, we interpret them. It's an integration through the body and the mind, which is so much more complete. It's no longer just a mental knowledge, but what transforms it into wisdom. It involves living it through the perceptions of the body, by involving the body. This phenomenon, this process of integration, will return as one of the most powerful medicines in the last mother of the year, the 13th. Neurosciences has revealed that we learn much, much more effectively by doing, by playing, by testing with our body and our five senses. And that's what the one who talks to a loved one, the first mother, does in the story. When she meets the centipede, the first mother just doesn't look at it, but has fun finding a way to coordinate her two legs also in the same way as the animal shows her, with harmony. And she looks for her own harmony in her body. It's the integration of knowledge through the body. She also tells us that it's not only through our five senses that we can learn, but also thanks to our intuition, an intuition that will be a little lacking in these very early days on Earth. But here we can ask, what is really intuition? Because me, as someone who works with it, I can tell you that it's much more than just voice inside us. It's bodily sensations. It's an indication in the rhythm of the body's beating. It's shivers. It's emotions. Little by little, I was able to discover that these are actually like micromuscular responses, muscular resonances, and motor tissues like hair. And whether it's in our guts, it's in our heart, or the much, much longer muscles in our back, there is something that we can call and see like a resonance. These days, we know how to use the body's knowledge in kinesthesia, for example, or radiesthesia. So yes, I can say that intuition comes from the body. And we know already that the body has memory. Take Psyche, for example. You can read lots of books on the subject, but it's only by engaging the body and experiencing it directly that you can understand what it's like to ride a bike. Never mind the physics behind it, behind the bike, the transmission of movements from the pedal to the wheels, or the material used for the tire. It doesn't matter how much science you can learn about cycling. Only the experience of it, of getting your knees up, down, of finding your rhythm, your balance, really tells you what it is all about. So let's take another example with an animal this time, the ant, aunt, I'm sorry. This is not my first language. I'm trying. So, the little aunt. We are not going to be able to grasp the medicine of the aunt. I mean by that the teaching and the metaphorical wisdom of it through scientific facts or even observation. We are going to have to go even further and imagine taking its place and living in its place. And we experience this through intuition. To try to touch this kind of understanding of belonging to the aunt hill, to be in one's place just by the simple fact of existing, the just place, the right place. This is an experience that we can have through shamanic journeys, which can be unsettling in terms of sensations and perspective. These natural medicines are one of the big foundations of shamanism, but also experimentation with the body. That's why in this culture, it's not enough to study to become a shaman. You have to experience the teachings. You have to have experienced death itself. In fact, you only become a shaman after having experienced death, in particular having been bitten by the snakes that offers the medicine of transformation. And it is like really like the initiations in Egypt, where having experienced death transforms your being deeply. So, looking at nature to learn about the sky also has a very humble side that I find very important. It means bending down before going up. It puts into perspective the notions of power over others. By going down, that is to say by lowering oneself, we clearly feel that the being is not seeking to grow towards heaven in the desire to acquire more power over others. Those who want power will never stop to take the afternoon or the day to imagine themselves living the life of an ant or testing a new way of walking by looking at a centipede. And it is this humility in these experiences of putting ourselves in the place of everyone, from the smallest to the most dangerous one, that leads us to learn to consider all living beings, all of them. Even if we are doing it to improve our lives in the quest for personal development, that's what happened in the end, little by little. It's a profound consideration for what surrounds us, and it takes root inside. It's an effect of a consequence that wasn't necessarily intended first, but which transforms the way that we see the world. As in forest or in an anthill, we realize that we live in a large planetary community, and that as a species, we each have our place. Finally, we learn not only to recognize, but also to respect all beings, whether plants or elementals, and that through experimentation, we understand that we all have needs in this great planet, and that these needs may be opposite, contradictory, but that doesn't matter, because even though we live on the same earth, we are complementary, as we'll see in the parts dedicated to the second theme on this cycle. Let's take our breath for example. The air that we exhale is the basis for the inspire of the chlorophyll plants. We have known this since childhood, since school, right? But can we spend just 2 minutes marveling at this perfect complementary reality for living beings? This amazing symbiosis. In the end, it's all there. Everything is already here. And all we have to do is open our eyes to what is. And because it's all there, we can already sense a kind of taste of paradise, heaven, or more generally, a feeling of sacredness. And that's what the first mother of the year in Jamie Sound's tale finally experiences it, the sacredness. It's a feeling of great gear where everything has its place and which allows us to have our first encounter with the feeling of unity in the sacred. The mother of January explained that we have to start there. It's the first step. It's not a teaching that takes place in March or October. It's the very first tale. It means making the effort to open our eyes to what is and to see beyond it, to take advantage of the many opportunities life and our environment offer us to learn from. It means letting life teach us through it, through its encounters too. So, I can decide when a fly lands on my arm, can I take advantage of this opportunity to learn by using my curiosity? How does it move? What does it do with its rubbing feet? It's a call to awaken our curiosity, which has been put to sleep by our daily lives, and that's okay, because we live lives like this. But we can stop sometimes and start learning another language, the symbolic and metaphorical language of life. And like a foreign language, we start from scratch. It's very difficult, first, because we don't have a vocabulary. But with practice, this vocabulary will be acquired. And it's very simple. What do we think of when I told you about a bear? A real bear, not some Winnie the Pooh illusion like, a real one. So we can think of its strengths, or maybe you may think of hibernation. I feel something in my body when I talk about that. So let's go on that. That's the right track. So does this mean I need to take the time to experience hibernations? To perhaps it's simply because my body needs to rest. Maybe it's because I'm not paying enough attention to my body's needs, or am I shutting myself off from my feelings by entertaining myself with trips, with Netflix series, with sugary foods? This is all the question that we can start to ask ourselves, because there is no wrong or right. It's just a process, and stay in the body to feel it. So maybe it's all about a metaphor for starting a process of introspection and looking at what's going on inside me deep in my cave that I see a bear. Or it may just be the experience of because I'm judging too negatively those who need rest more than me, because it's time for them to start this season of inner retreat to heal something. And because I don't have time, maybe I'm jealous. You see how this can lead to very deep and insecure questions. So, yes, tons of questions arise when we start to look at things with that certain curiosity. And even though we may feel a little lost at first, we will. All these questions are very, very interesting to explore. Every time we try something, we expand our vocabulary and we strengthen our intuition a little more. But above all, all these questions raised, they will create a connection with the living being in question. It's living space and it's secret space inside. This curiosity will lead to a real cascade of beneficial consequences, not only in terms of getting to know ourselves better, but also in terms of establishing bonds of compassion that will lead to a very natural respect. It's in this sacred respect that we can increasingly access the sacred spaces of beings in other worlds, the depth of their souls, their zone of their area of wonder. It's a space that belongs to them, and we enter it in a very humbly way because we have already learned to become humble. And we have to be humble because this is their vulnerability place. So we have to respect it. Everything comes together in this teaching, you see. And in the end, we discover that nature gives us what we need when we need it. Not just in terms of abundance, because of the manifestation laws that we see a lot, but also in terms of clarity, for example, or a need for a more meaningful life. And little by little, these synchronicities put us back in touch with the dimension of the wonderful, marvelous in the mundane, in the world. There's no longer any need to look for it elsewhere than in reality now. And now that I've got this far, I would like to talk to you about the tree, because it's an important part of the very first tale and a symbol frequently found in alchemy, and also a symbol that I've painted intuitively in a great number of paintings. So for Carl Gustav Jung, the famous psychoanalyst, the tree is quite simply the symbol of individuation. This is the process of becoming the person we are called to be in our essence, in our sacred places. This is a process of fulfillment. So by feeling the tree, by becoming the tree, by experiencing the senses of the body in the presence of the tree, the first mother, the one who speaks to her loved one, perceives the balance of the tree in the vertical dimensions of the sky and the earth, but that's not at all. It's also an exploration of all the balances of giving and receiving, or of feminine and masculine. And by playing at imitation, she gains direct access to it through her feeling, through the archetypal symbols conveyed in different initiations from many traditions around the world about the tree. Just by playing, she accesses that. So it's an incredibly powerful message that we follow in this very, very first teaching by telling us that nature itself is a source of initiation. So yes, nature may be cruel, raw, and therefore complete, just as it is made by the universal current of life. So where nature has not been distorted by human, its messages have not been distorted either. They appear in this tale like as a raw jewel of knowledge, totally accessible to all. And that's the most important thing this month, that nature is present and accessible to each and every one of us. And this month, I really want you to be able to listen to and observe all the creation, and above all, to what it has to offer to you, to your own understanding of yourself. And to help you do this, you will find some questions and exercises below in this page. The important thing is to establish contact with nature from the perspective of this joyful curiosity, which can lead us to open our compassion to all living beings in nature if we haven't already done so, but maybe you have, to the point of seeing them as members of our family. And I'd like to end this audio on a slightly more personal note. It was this first tale that drew me completely to the world of the clan mothers. And we are not on She Arts Wild for nothing. Wild, the wild and authentic nature that has had this like magnetic effect on me since I was very, very young. I used to go off and observe nature on my own in the surrounding forest where I lived in silence to observe this very special world of life. And it was thanks to this mother's teaching that I was able to link this curiosity to my snippets of memories of initiatory past lives, what we call the great mysteries. I was initiated into them, so I connect them too with this tale. So this tale was really a turning point in my life, and it led me to do some shamanic art, then intuitive painting, and then integrative art therapy. So I'm really looking forward to exploring this first theme creatively with you. I'm looking forward to reading all your comments, all your personal reflections, and accounts of your own relationships with the beings of nature, your discoveries, synchronicities, and all wisdoms that you will learn. I remind you that it's all for that we have the private group on the Signal application. And in addition of the sorority page. So don't hesitate to leave your mark on each of them. All that's left is for me is to thank you for your attention. And I'll see you soon for the rest. So take a good care of yourself and your environment. And see you soon. Bye-bye.